Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. David Orsman, a minister in the United Methodist Church and author of From Gospel to Sermon, Preaching Synoptic Texts, spoke on July 9, 2006. His sermon was titled, Centering, Come and Find the Quiet Center. The lectionary readings are 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13.
If there is a common theme between the two stories that we've heard from Scripture, I think that theme would be religious and ethnic conflict. These are both stories about religious and ethnic conflict. In the story from 2 Samuel that Stephen read, King David has just been coronated the king of Israel. And the first deed as king that 2 Samuel recounts is his conquering the city of Jerusalem. Now they say that history is written by the victors. And the attitude of the writer of 2 Samuel is to portray David as a heroic and glorified figure. It says, he became greater and greater because the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. But I suspect that if you were to read an account of that event written by a Jebusite historian, it might read a little bit differently. It wouldn't be the story of a heroic conquest. It would be a story told in a sad and perhaps a bitter voice about a foreign army coming in, taking away the land, the city, the homes that the Jebusites had lived in for generations. And if you were to read about this event from a purely objective historian, if there is such a thing, you probably would read something along the lines that this was one battle, but not the first battle in a war that began and has gone on long since. The religious and ethnic conflict that was expressed in violence that day in Jerusalem has gone on to this day, so that when we see what's going on in the Middle East and Israel today, the warfare between Israel and the Palestinians, this is yet another battle in a war that's been going on for over 2,900 years. Religious and ethnic conflict leading to the polarization of peoples and the unrest of the world. And also the story from the 6th chapter of Mark is a story about religious conflict. Jesus, according to Mark, had been baptized by John in the Jordan, and he had gone into Galilee, and he had started teaching and preaching and healing the sick, casting out demons, and everywhere he went, crowds came and listened to him and received him with enthusiasm, followed him, sought out his healing. And then it says that Jesus of Nazareth went back home to Nazareth. And on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he worshiped and he studied with them. And as they were debating what the tradition, what the text meant, Jesus shared his wisdom, but he wasn't received with the kind of adulation he'd grown accustomed to. The people in Nazareth took offense at him, it said. They said, we know who he is. He's the son of the carpenter. We know him. We know his brothers. He's the little kid who ran around the streets when he was a little boy. Where did he get all this wisdom from? Where did he get the authority to come and tell us, his elders, his neighbors, what our tradition means? And it says they took offense at him. Religious and theological conflict. And whether this reflects what actually happened that day in the year 30, or whether it reflects what I suspect is the case, the conflict that was present in Israel at the time that Mark was writing his gospel in the year 70, when the Jews and the church were beginning the long, slow, painful process of disengaging, it reflects religious and theological conflict that began in the first century and tragically has expressed itself in some very ugly ways throughout the history of the church, as we have been guilty of committing acts of anti-Judaism. So these two stories are about religious and ethnic conflict that lead to polarization and violence and instability. And you might think, well, the story from 2 Samuel took place 2,900 years ago. The story from Mark took place 2,000 years ago. Surely the human race has evolved since that time. Surely we have learned to deal with our conflicts more constructively. We've learned to engage those we disagree with and take part in respectful, constructive conversation with them to find peaceful ways to settle our differences and move forward. You might think that, but we all know that's not the case. Everywhere we look in the world, we still see conflict around religious and ethnic identity. Iraq. There we are in the middle of a civil war. Shiite Muslims and Sunni Muslims and Kurds at war with one another. Every day in the newspaper we hear about terrible acts of violence that are perpetrated by some of those people against others of those people. And of course we're in the middle of it and suffering the brunt as well. Darfur, where genocide is taking place. The powerful are committing genocide against other ethnic groups in that land. Everywhere around the world we look, we see violence and polarization born of religious and ethnic conflict. I've mentioned the Palestinian problem. Everywhere in the world, but it's not just in the third world. It's in the United States of America as well. It's in Washington, D.C., in the halls of Congress. We all know that this is the most polarized Congress that we've ever had as a country. And ironically, studies show that the vast majority of people in the middle are pretty much of one mind on a lot of the difficult issues that face us as a nation. But the people in Congress are off on their extremes, unable to communicate with each other or unwilling to, and not finding the solutions that the vast, broad middle already is unified behind. And it's not just in the political realm that there's polarization around religious issues. It's true in the Church of Jesus Christ as well. Like, have you been following in the news recently about the turmoil in the Episcopal Church over the election of the Bishop of Nevada to be the presiding bishop of the denomination, the Episcopal Church of the United States? And the problem that some of the conservative dioceses have, the problem that some of the more conservative Anglican churches around the world have, is that the Bishop of Nevada was a woman. And you would think, to hear what they say, that the Bible has been shredded and thrown out and the tradition has been stomped on. We figured out a long time ago that God gives gifts to people regardless of gender, and those gifts are needed for the ministry of the church. The church is enriched because for generations we've had female pastors in the pulpit, including the female pastor who's in this pulpit most weeks. She's taking a long and a well-deserved and much-needed vacation now. And the church is impoverished when the gifts of some of its members are turned away because of gender or because of orientation. There is polarization and division in the church, not just the Episcopal Church, all of the Protestant mainline churches. Of course, the issue that we are most embroiled about is the issue of the inclusion of gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgendered folk in the life and ministry of the church. And we have progressives such as ourselves on one side, and we have evangelicals on the other side, and we are in this state of polarized conflict, unable to even talk to each other with respect in a constructive conversation to try to find a way forward, a way to get outside the box that we're fighting in. I had a conversation a little more than a year ago with a colleague before I began the one-year interim pastorate I had at Bethany. And in that conversation, we talked about a lot of things, but we talked about this very issue. And I remember saying to my colleague that, you know, if liberals and conservatives in the United Methodist Church can't talk to each other, what hope is there for the world? If progressives and evangelicals in our own denomination cannot find a way to resolve differences peacefully and intelligently and sensitively, how are we ever going to hope to help the Islamic fundamentalist militants from coming to peace with the secular West that they are so alienated against? Now, we do need to get our own act together in the church, but how do we go about doing it? There's a hymn in The Faith We Sing. We sang two verses of it last Sunday, and we're going to sing all three verses of it today. The hymn is called Come and Find the Quiet Center. And what that hymn is primarily about is about the spiritual discipline of centering. And I demonstrated centering with the children in our congregation earlier in the service today. Centering is a way of quieting ourselves and finding the presence of the divine within us. And the hymn is mostly about that spiritual discipline. But I wonder if we take that metaphor of centering and think of it as it applies to the whole church and to the whole nation and to the whole world, what it might have to suggest to us. Could God be calling the church to come and find the quiet center? Could God be calling progressives such as ourselves and evangelicals to learn how to sit down at the same table, the table of Christ, to which we're all invited, and to learn how to talk respectfully, to learn how to listen, to hear where the other person is coming from, to respect their words even if we disagree with them, to recognize that they speak out of their own integrity just as we speak out of our own integrity, and they disagree with us, and we disagree with them, but that doesn't mean we can't disagree respectfully. And I think it also means respecting the vast majority who are in the middle of the church, the vast, probably two-thirds of the membership of our denomination and of all the Protestant denominations, who are pretty much in the middle. Now, committing ourselves to listening to them and finding out what their questions are so that we can learn how to speak effectively and persuasively with them. You can never persuade somebody if you don't know what their concerns are. And one more thing I think it might mean. It might mean recognizing and praising the progress that the middle of the church has made over the last number of years. Remember last summer, the turmoil over the pastor in Virginia who denied church membership to a member of his choir because that was a gay man. And the uproar that came about in the Virginia Annual Conference. He was suspended from ministry by the bishop and by a vote of the members of that annual conference. And then the Judicial Council came up with its clunker of a ruling that said that pastor was within his pastoral prerogatives. But then remember the uproar that came from all over the church unanimously from the Council of Bishops that has conservatives as well and from the vast majority of people within the church. The vast middle of the United Methodist Church has come to accept that gays and lesbians have a place within the church along with everybody else. Anybody who is a person of faith seeking a relationship with God through the church has a right to membership. We need to recognize and praise that progress. You know, as parents, we know that praise is the most powerful tool of discipline that we have? Or take the whole question of holy unions or civil unions. 4 years ago, that was a controversial idea in this country. Howard Dean was being criticized for having signed a law bringing about civil unions in Vermont. But now, 4 years later, the middle of the country has come together and accepted the idea. Even George Bush and Dick Cheney say that they are in favor of civil unions, although they don't say it very loudly. But the center of the country and the center of the church has been making progress, and we need to acknowledge it and praise it so that we can encourage it to continue. Come and find the quiet center. Could this be God's call not only to the church, but to the world? You know, we went into Iraq, George Bush said, because we had to disarm Saddam of his weapons of mass destruction, and we went in, and of course, there were none, which is something most of us suspected might be the case. But we have discovered where the weapons really are. When religious and ethnic differences lead to violence and conflict and polarization, that is the most massively destructive weapon in the world. Come and find the quiet center. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to EpworthBerkley@gmail.com. That's EpworthBerkeley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkeley.org. That's www.epworthberkeley.org.